The United States is one of the most religious countries in the world. Maybe we don't think of ourselves that way, but we're also one of the most religiously diverse and perhaps one of the most accepting of religious differences. We are Catholic, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, atheist, but there is generally one idea, one hope that unites many of us, and that's the belief in an afterlife of some kind. In fact, the number of Americans who believe in heaven is higher than 80%, and it's 10% higher now than it was in 1997. We're joined now by Lisa Miller. She's the author of the new book, Heaven, Our Enduring Fascination with the Afterlife. She's also the religion editor at Newsweek magazine. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Lisa, there are a gigantic number of books that deal with the idea of heaven. I mean, if you start including the Buddhist idea of enlightenment, we're going into thousands and tens of thousands. So when you sat down to write a book about heaven, what did you think was missing from that discussion?
This book is almost a travelogue through the 2,000-year conversation about heaven in the Western tradition. So it's me exploring these ideas and the big questions. You know, what happens to your body in heaven? How do you get to heaven? What do you have to do? Who do you see there? Do you see your grandma, your football coach, your pets? Do you see God? Isn't it boring? We in America who like to work and strive and play and surf and eat out at restaurants, isn't this sort of eternal prayer kind of a boring idea? And so it's me sort of posing these questions, giving readers ideas to play with, and sort of encouraging people to come up with a more coherent idea of heaven.
Well, you talk about how the idea of heaven and how many of us may be more similar in our beliefs than we think could be a unifying theme for Americans. And it's very interesting the way you talk about the development of sort of an American vision of heaven that transcends sex. The way in which we conceive of heaven, we've increasingly got this sort of lovely bones idea of heaven. We've got very little mention of God or even religion anywhere in it.
Grandma, Susie's in the in-between. I wasn't gone. I was alive in my own perfect world.
There's an echo in heaven, I guess.
And a nice heavenly soundtrack,
right,
as
right,
well. But, you know, again, that's not about any particular faith there.
No, in fact, I spoke to Alice Siebold. And
the author of Lovely Bones.
The author of Lovely Bones. And one of the things she said was, you know, she grew up in a pretty strict religious household. And one of the things she wanted was a heaven that wasn't restrictive, where you could have anything you wanted, you could be anything you wanted. In her heaven, you know, people get whatever they want and it doesn't overlap with what other people have. So, you know, she likes to play sports and her friend likes to play the saxophone and it's not a problem. The other thing I like about Siebold's heaven is that there's anxiety there and rage and fury and jealousy. She looks down on earth to her family from heaven and she sees bad things happening and it makes her upset. So it's not this traditional idea of everything nice all the time.
But you also describe the sort of surprise that Americans felt after 9/11 to think that the image of heaven could be an incitement to rage and violence and murder. And yet, when you're looking historically, so often it's the idea of heaven, the definition of what that is and who gets in or who gets out, that very often leads to violence in the history of religion.
It's true. I think that we have a very particular idea of heaven here in the West, having that comes from our, you know, prosperous, materially successful, just, democratic society. And so we want heaven to be sort of more of the same, more nice stuff, more getting along. But I think in parts of the world where societies are not like this, heaven is an incitement to be faithful, to be true to a certain ideal, to turn justice on its head. You know, the rich will fall, the meek will be mighty. These are very powerful incitements to sometimes violence.
Although those are two very different kind of concepts, and I wonder if they, in this course of your study, they sort of conflict. I mean, on the one hand, you can think of heaven as this utopian exploration of the idealized society, and many have written and created that. I mean, in some ways, Dante is all about this idealization of life on earth in some place called heaven. But there's also this notion of heaven that's all about, like, here's what you get if you do this, and here's what's going to happen to you if you do that, a pure sort of handing out of rewards. Which is more powerful?
Well, one of the things I found in my reporting for this book is that the differences in ideas about heaven aren't so much differences between Muslims, Christians, and Jews, but differences about where you are on the spectrum. Are you a conservative or even fundamentalist believer, in which case you take Scripture as literally true and the images given in Scripture are real and there is that is truth? Or are you more in the conservative, liberal kind of believer, in which case all of the descriptions are open for interpretation, metaphor, poetry, ideas about something that you can't ever explain, mysterious. And so I think that in the former group, it really does incite people to action. That's the idea. And in the latter group, there's a kind of letting things unfold as they may and leaving it all up to God in the end.
But is heaven the ideal society or is heaven the reward?
I think it's both. I think one of the great things about heaven is that it's both and, you know. Mm. There's a book by Jeffrey Burton Russell about heaven, and he says, you know, it's silence and song. Everybody is there and only the elect are there. Your enemies are there and your friends are there. You are there with your family and you are there with God. Heaven is an inherently paradoxical idea, and the best way to think of it, I think, is to encompass all of this stuff.
But you know,
it's a garden and a city.
As Americans, we love to talk about heaven and ideals and where you're going to go, and we tell our children that's, you know, whomever has passed on and they've gone on to a better place. Very often, the one thing it doesn't seem politically correct anymore to talk about hell.
Oh, no. Belief in hell is tanking. It's tanking worse than the economy tanked last year.
Bad brand.
Very, very, very few people believe in heaven, and even those who do believe in heaven...
You mean in hell?
I mean, sorry, in hell. And even those who do believe in hell don't think they're going to go there.
What do you believe?
I believe in heaven as a radical idea, a striving for perfection among people, a striving for beauty and truth and justice, and that reflects what God wants from us. And if God lives in heaven... That's what we're striving to gain.
Okay. You're hoping he does live in heaven.
Yes, that's the conventional idea, you know, that God lives in heaven. Heaven is where God is.
Huge disappointment.
Definitely,
he moved from here a while ago.
Yeah. I definitely hope to see all my dogs again. Lisa Miller is author of the new book Heaven: Our Enduring Fascination with the Afterlife. She's also the religion editor at Newsweek. This is the question that we're asking our listeners today: what do you believe? How do you describe and define heaven? Let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE or go to thetakeaway.org.
If you go to our site, we've got several bonuses for all of you loyal listeners. Our education series, Getting Schooled, continues online. Beth Fertig, education reporter for our home station, WNYC, has written about New York's attempt to close 19 schools. And all the attempted reforms are discussed in detail at thetakeaway.org. And one of our topics, bullying, involves you. You can comment on a story of either being bullied or being a bully. Reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. More of that story on Monday. We want you involved in the editorial process as well. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.